he assured her, still lightly touching each scar. She whispered the place not even El knew about.
My stomach.
He didn't respond, continuing to look, touch, and memorize the scars on her arms before pulling the sleeves of her sweater down to cover her cold arms back up.
They're hideous, aren't they?
She asked while confessing how she had felt about them ever since first looking at herself in the mirror. Luca grabbed her face, forcing her to look at him. Don't you ever speak those words again. Do you understand? She tried nodding her head in his grip.
Yes.
Loosening his hold, he moved a finger to her full lips, caressing over the scar he hadn't yet touched that went an inch above and below her lips. You and your scars are the most beautiful things I have ever seen. Her breathing hitched as he moved his face closer to hers while moving his finger from her lips to position her for the taking. Don't you ever think they're not? He whispered, his breath teasing her lips. She closed her eyes as he pressed his lips against hers. This kiss was slower than the first, and not as demanding, just him leisurely tasting her bottom lip. The last time, he had tasted of cool mint. This time, she could still taste the cool mint, but it had a smokiness to it from his cigarette. The two opposite flavors mixed, tasting of fire and ice, and making her lips and body tingle. Luca biting her bottom lip caused a noise of pleasure to escape her throat, like it had the last time. He smiled against her lips before he smoothed his tongue over the pressure he had caused, soothing it for just a moment before he pulled away. I think you like being bit, darling. A flush appeared on her cheeks as she blushed at his words and her body's betrayal. It's not a bad thing. He smiled before placing a light kiss on her lips. Her belly became warm at the quick kiss. It was sweet, something she wasn't very used to from the possessive man. Unconsciously licking her lips, she noticed she still tasted of him, the mint with the hint of smoke, tasting exactly how he smelled. That made her ask, "Why did you put your cigarette out when I came in?" She realized then that she hadn't smelled smoke on him much lately, which surprised her. Because I don't like smoking around you if we're not outside. It doesn't bother me, she told him, not wanting him to not smoke on her account. The smell had strangely never bothered her. I know, darling, but I don't want you inhaling it, he told her, revealing that it had to do with her health and not with the fact she might not like it. Thinking deeper about it, this was the only room in the house where she could smell smoke. She clasped her hands together when his hand moved higher up the outside of her thigh.
Is this the only room you smoke in?
His eyes didn't waver from her face as she looked down at her hands. Now it is, yes. I have to be able to smoke while I'm working.
Now it is?
She questioned. I quit smoking everywhere else in the house once I knew you were coming here.
Oh.
Chloe didn't really know what to think of that. It seemed like he had done a lot of things for her since he had first met her.
I don't think I'll ever know everything he has done.
What is it? He asked, twirling a strand of her hair between his fingers.
When did you start sleeping in Leo's room?
She had a feeling she knew why. And she also thought she knew when. He twirled, and then untwirled her strand of hair before he answered with sadness in his voice. The first time you had your nightmares. It took me too long to get to you. I started sleeping in Leo's room after that because, no matter how fast I ran, it still took me too long to get to you. A little piece of Chloe's heart broke at hearing him say those words.
She could feel the pain behind them, like there was more to it than she knew or even could understand. She wanted him to know something, something that had been hard for her to admit to herself at first.
You've helped ease the nightmares.
He stopped the motion of twirling her hair as he focused on her eyes. Is that so?
Yes. I've noticed that when you're around, they seem to go away.
I'm happy to hear that, darling. Beginning the motion of twirling her hair again, he asked, Are you feeling better now?
She nodded.
Even though a part of her still felt it strange to be held by him, her body and mind felt immensely better being around him. Something about Luca called to her body. It needed it, craved it, which had only amplified after the horrible nightmare.
Would you like me to take the day off? I could go make us something to eat, and then we could watch a movie if you wanted.
He paused for a moment.
Or I could call Maria and ask her to come over.
Smiling up at him, she felt appreciation that he would do that for her, although he was still unhappy with his sister.
That depends. What would you fix me to eat?
He smiled back, pleased that she was choosing to spend the day with him.
Whatever you want, darling.
She didn't even have to think about it.
Chocolate pancakes.
Then chocolate pancakes it is.
Getting up from his lap, she saw something gold flash out of the corner of her eye. It had her looking at his desk to see what it was, and when she did, her smiling face slowly changed into a look of fear as she reached out, wanting to see if it was real or if she was imagining it. The second her fingertip touched the ring, she knew it wasn't just an illusion, and her mouth opened to scream, but nothing came out.
I'm coming for you, little girl.
Luca touched her shoulder, the worry back in his voice.
Darling, I've missed you.
When she continued staring at the ring, he turned her to face him. Then, holding both of her shoulders, he lightly shook her.
Chloe! Chloe!
Staring at Luca now, the devil's voice disappeared and she began to unfreeze. Now she was trying desperately to get away from him, away from his touch, trying her best to fight him.
Stop it, Luca commanded. Tell me what's wrong.
Why do you have it? She screamed. Why do you have the ring?
Ghost tears tried to fall down her face as she struggled against him, not wanting to believe he could have had something to do with what had happened to her.
I took it off the man who broke—
You're lying!
She cried out, still without the tears, though they desperately wanted to be there. It explained how he knew everything about her. Pulling her to him, he held her body with one arm while grabbing a hold of her face with his free hand, making her look into his eyes.
Look at me.
His voice became melodic and strong.
No, I'm not. I would never lie to you.
Closing her eyes, she let him hold her to him fully now as she pressed her face into his chest. She didn't have to see the truth. Her heart could feel it, knowing he couldn't have been involved. It was the scared little girl who had been living in her for almost 4 years now who had needed the reassurance. The scared little girl who had screamed for someone like Luca to save her that night, only for no one to come. The scared little girl who now had her savior and was petrified to even think about losing him. Chapter 36. As he took the sight of the other. Luca dragged the body, taking him to the steel pipe that was in the back corner of the room.
Where am I?
The fucker wasn't dead, but he was fucking close to it. The sound of metal chains echoed throughout the dark, cold concrete room.
What are you doing?
He cried,
trying to lift his body unsuccessfully. A loud snap followed by something locking in place silenced the room. Staring down at the broken man who had passed out, Luca gave a yank to the chain that locked his ankle to the pipe.
Ow! What do you want from me?
More tears fell from his eyes.
Who were you looking for?
I don't know.
Another yank to the chain pulled at his shattered leg, making him wail in pain.
Who were you looking for?
I don't know.
Luca squatted next to the man, noticing a gold ring on his finger. Pulling out his knife, he grabbed the man's hand, then spread his fingers open before placing the blade right under his ring.
Now, the man began repeating,
please don't.
Tell me who you were looking for in the penthouse.
I can't tell you.
Luca sliced into his finger, cutting deeply.
Scars!
The man screamed, and Luca immediately stopped, relieving the man from his pain.
The girl with the scars.
Luca stared down at him.
That's so.
Yes.
He took a thankful breath.
Unfortunately, he sliced into his finger again. You came after the one who's mine.
Now that he was sawing into the bone, the screams that filled the air only grew louder, until the man passed out cold. Pulling the ring off the now chopped-off finger, Luca wiped at the blood, revealing the diamonds surrounding the horseshoe. Staring down at the horseshoe ring, Luca put it back in his pocket to look at the frail, malnourished Italian man who no longer resembled himself. His hair and beard were matted and long. Burns, scars, and bruises now riddled his body, and most of his teeth had been removed, along with all of the nails on his toes and 9 fingers. Luca stalked toward the man chained up in the corner.
You lied to me. You said you weren't there that night.
Shaking his head, the man tried to scoot into the corner as much as he could.
No, Mr. Caruso, sir.
She remembered your ring, he warned.
His face morphed into pure terror, his hands coming together in prayer.
I can explain, sir. Please let me explain.
Pulling out a cigarette, Luca held it between his lips as he took out his lighter and let the glow burn the end.
Go on.
The first night you told me she was yours, if I told you I was there the night she got her scars, you would have killed me. Then I would have been no good to you. Sir, I did it for you, sir.
Luca held the cigarette between his lips as he reached out and grabbed the chain, pulling it with all his strength and bringing his captive to him, flattening him like a pancake. The man hit his head hard on the concrete, unable to move his fragile and tormented body. Squatting down beside the man's head, Luca then held open his right eye, not letting him blink, while he took the cigarette out of his mouth with his other hand and hovered the burning end over the eyeball.
"Did you lie to me about anything else?" he demanded.
The weak man tried to move but couldn't.
"No, I swear."
"You're right."
Luca brought the burning stick closer to the eye he held open so tightly it looked like it was about to pop out at any second.
"I would have killed you."
Shoving the cigarette down, he smashed it into the man's pupil until it no longer burned, using his eye as an ashtray. Only Luca and the concrete walls laid witness to how a man's screams sounded when he went blind in one eye. And then again, a few moments later, as he took the sight of the other. Chapter 37. This time felt different, more
final.
Chloe sat on Luca's bed, holding her knees to her chest and rocking herself back and forth. The pit in her stomach had only grown since her nightmare this morning, making her sick. The air around her felt heavy, making her suffocate. She could feel something coming. Something very bad was about to happen, and she was afraid her fate would be fatal this time. The horseshoe ring, along with the devil's ominous black eyes, wouldn't leave her mind.
"He's coming for me. He promised."
Drago was alerted to a presence on the security monitors. A car was pulling into the long driveway. It had a sign on top of the vehicle, showing it was food delivery. He hadn't ordered anything, so he quickly called Luca to see if he had. However, the call went straight to voicemail, his signal most likely blocked from where he was. When the car stopped in front of the house and a man in uniform got out with a pizza bag, he figured Luca had ordered it to feed Chloe, since she hadn't eaten anything and he was most likely going to be gone for a while. Getting up, he headed toward the door and got to it just as the delivery guy knocked. He cracked open the door with his hand on his pistol at his lower back, seeing the uniformed man holding the pizza bag. "Delivery for Luca Caruso?" Drago nodded, then pulled his hand from his pistol, opening the door wider. The delivery man placed his hand inside the bag. Pop. When the shot fired through the bag, Drago realized his grave mistake. Going for his gun, he took a step toward the man when, pop. Both shots had hit him in the chest before his gun was at his side. Lifting up the gun, he saw now that other men had gotten out of the car, all holding guns. Pop. He pulled the trigger, but his aim wasn't true as a bullet lodged itself deep in his own arm. Knowing he wasn't going to make it, his only hope was to warn her.
"Chloe, hide!"
his voice boomed. Pop. Refusing to go down, he went to tackle the man. Pop. Drago's body slumped to the floor as his mind began to fog. He had failed.
"I'm sorry, Chloe."
When Chloe heard the loud noises, she held herself tighter.
"Chloe, hide!"
she heard Drago's muffled yell. She moved a millimeter before a familiar voice spoke to her, freezing her in place.
"Stay still, little girl."
More shots rang out before there was only silence.
"Or it'll just hurt worse."
A tear fell from her eye. A real, single, wet tear touched her cheek. The door slowly creaked open, and the figure of a man stood in the doorway. He looked just how he had 4 years ago, like he had come out of her nightmare, his black eyes still glowing with evil. She closed her eyes.
"Chloe, wake up, and everything will be okay."
"I've missed you, little girl."
Luca walked out of the place he held his captive prisoner, waiting for his sins to wash away once the fresh air hit him, like they always did. This time, however, they didn't, and his heart sunk deep as the feeling he and Chloe shared began to fissure, telling him something terrible was happening. Grabbing his phone out of his pocket, he saw he had a missed call from Drago. Quickly, he called him back.
"Answer."
There was no answer. Now running to his car, he called Sal, who picked up on the first ring.
"House, now,"
was all he said before he hung up, throwing himself into his Cadillac and starting up his car. Sal would be able to see what was happening on his computer. He would be able to help and assess the situation since he was closer to the house. Luca drove at breakneck speeds. He was too far away from the house, too far away from Chloe once again. This was now the third time this wretched, hopeless feeling had taken over his body. However, this time felt different, more final.
Stay with me, Chloe. Please don't leave me.
He'd had her now, tasted her, felt her. Living even this short amount of time with her, he knew one thing for certain.
I won't be able to live without you.
Chapter 38. Pressing Play. Luca's heart shattered into a billion and one fucking pieces the moment he stepped into his house and saw Sal's sullen face, along with the blood covering the entrance to his family home. The darkness instantly rose, demanding to go after her that second, but Sal calmed him, telling him he needed to find out first where they took her, along with devising a plan to get her out safely. Luca asked to see the security tapes of what exactly happened, wanting to see it himself instead of being told. Then he watched every part of it, Drago fighting as he went down, and how Chloe simply sat there, too fucking afraid to even move. It was clear there was only one person at fault.
Me.
He took responsibility for everything, not being there to protect her himself, needing retribution after the look on Chloe's face this morning and what she had told him. She had said that one of Lucifer's men who had held her down had worn the ring while Lucifer had marked her body repeatedly. Luca had held her for a while until she had calmed, while the darkness had only grown inside of him. Then, afraid the darkness would blow at any second and not wanting to hurt her or force her into something she didn't want, he had left. He had needed to take it out on the same man who had held her down while she had been tormented. Raking his fingers through his overgrown hair that had reached the nape of his neck, he couldn't understand it. He had been so careful. Then it occurred to him, the only thing he hadn't planned.
Amo.
Sal's voice cut through his thoughts.
They are still working on Drago, but they say it doesn't look like he will make it.
Fuck.
Drago was one of their best. Luca needed him more than ever right now, but instead he lay there, dying on a fucking emergency room table because of Luca's stupidity.
There's something else.
The sorrow in Sal's voice became more evident.
Lucifer left this.
Luca stared at the disc his friend held out to him.
What is it?
You'll want to watch it, alone.
The moment he took the disc from Sal's hands, the sinking feeling returned. He knew what the disc held would haunt him for the rest of his life. Sal was no longer able to even look at Luca as he headed out the door to give him some privacy, telling him,
I only watched a few minutes of it before I had to turn it off.
Staring down at the disc, Luca shakily put it in the computer, a sick feeling coming to his stomach. His finger wavered over the play button.
If she lived it, I can watch it.
Pressing play meant changing his life forever. Chapter 39. A Living, Breathing Nightmare. 4 years ago.
Thump. What was that?
Looking at the clock on her nightstand, Chloe saw that her parents wouldn't be home for another couple of hours. She was still shaken up from the beating Elle had taken at school, so she told herself it was messing with her mind. Turning off the lamp, she snuggled back under the blankets, her brain still filled with the images of Elle lying on the pavement, until she fell back asleep. Her sleep didn't last long before a hand covering her mouth woke her up to a living, breathing nightmare. She struggled against the dark figure, but it didn't last long. A hard force knocked her out cold. Her body being slammed down on a table had her jolting awake. A scream escaped her as she saw men surrounding her in an unfamiliar room.
A tall, slender, older man with black hair and matching black eyes seemed to be the one in charge, as two of his men held each of her arms, while a third one held her feet. An evil twist to his lips appeared before he ordered, "Take off her shirt."
"No."
Chloe struggled even harder against the men, her tears blurring her vision. She was shocked by how fast her tears had been created before they could even fall. Despite her best efforts, the two men who were holding her arms ripped off her shirt, exposing her bra.
"Please, please,"
she begged, praying they would release her as they removed her shirt completely. A flash of gold on one of the man's fingers crossed her vision as he grabbed at her shirt. It was a huge horseshoe diamond ring that she was sure to never forget. The man who was apparently the leader approached her with a blade, his eyes skimming over her. She felt so small in that moment, disgusting, worthless, tainted as they all stared down at her exposed skin.
"Why is this happening to me?"
The cold metal table underneath her was a stark contrast to her burning face from what seemed like pointless crying.
"Please, stop."
No amount of kicking and fighting was a match for what felt like millions of hands holding her down. The laughter from the evil man who held the knife rang through her ears mockingly.
"Stay still, little girl."
He drew the knife closer to her face.
"Or it'll just hurt worse."
Looking at his abnormally large black eyes, she was sure she was looking into the eyes of the devil. The silver blade inched closer and closer to her right eye until it was mere centimeters from her pupil.
"Don't blink."
A tear welled up in her eye, making it even harder to keep her eyes open. Her body began to tremble. She was going to blink.
"Don't blink, little girl," he warned again.
The tear fell, and her eyes started to close.
"God help me."
The second her quivering lids shut, she felt the cold knife pierce her skin above her right eyebrow. It sunk deep and true, causing a shrill sound unlike any she had ever released to fill the air around them. The pain only grew worse as he dragged the blade down her skin slowly, painfully. He then released the pressure on her skin, only for him to dig it back in right under her eye and begin it all over again. Her shrill screams filled the space once more. However, the struggle in her was dying as she became too weak. Lifting up the knife, this time he held her face roughly, shushing her screams while he cut a line down the right side of her lips. When he pulled away again, letting her come up for air, the adrenaline she had used to fight was now gone. As her blood trickled down her face and burned into her skin, she knew she would never forget the feeling when her tears met the blood to scorch paths of bloody tears down her face.
"Please, just kill."
It was hard for her to whisper her plea through her hoarse voice, but she had to try, hoping for mercy. The maniac began to laugh while he caressed the edge of the blade over her skin.
"Little girl, this is only the beginning."
Closing her eyes, another tear fell, mixing with the hot blood. Mercy wasn't going to be given tonight, leaving her with one final hope to be saved. The knife pierced her skin over and over as he cut into one arm, then her other arm, then her stomach. The agony and torture only continued. With every single cut that was given, she could feel him lay claim to her. Heavy, cumbersome chains were placed on her body with each mark, her mind with each evil laugh she heard, and her soul with each time she heard the words, "little girl."
They wound and wound around her, pulling tighter and tighter. Eyes beginning to blink slowly, she could feel herself drifting off now, the pain becoming too much to bear. Her one final hope of being saved from the devil had disappeared. No one was coming to save her, and if someone did, it was too far past late. To save her now would mean that someone worse would have to take her soul from the devil and claim it as their own. However, a man like that wouldn't exist. And if he did, that wouldn't be saving her at all. The girl was starting to lose consciousness, and her now traumatized gray eyes began to drift away. There was something he enjoyed about seeing the eyes change from the person they once were to the person they were after he was done with them. It was his mark, how he claimed them. He had taken away the young girl she once was and made her into his beautiful creation. Her body, her mind, and her soul belonged to him and always would, until he took away her last dying breath. Her eyes rolled to the back of her head before her eyelids closed.
"Good night, my little girl."
The door opening had him turning his head to see his man pushing another man into the warehouse.
"Oh, God!"
the man cried, trying to get to the little girl, but his men wouldn't let him.
"What did you do to her?"
he screamed. Lucifer slid the knife over the unconscious girl's body.
"I made her beautiful. I warned you that the longer you took, the longer I would have with her, Maxwell."
"My daughter, how could you? Why did you do this?"
The little girl's father fell to his knees.
"This city is in need of a change."
Turning, Lucifer wanted to see his face as he said,
"Dante Caruso may have gotten you elected, but he no longer controls you. I do. You will do anything and everything I ask. Don't,"
he pointed with his knife to the camera that had been recording the whole time,
"and I will happily remind you who you and your precious family belong to."
Walking up to the man on his knees, Lucifer touched the blood-dripping blade to Maxwell's face.
"Do we have an agreement?"
Tears ran down Maxwell's face as he nodded.
"Yes."
Going back to the girl on the table, he picked her up, cradling her in his arms as she slightly started coming to. Leaning down, he whispered into her ear,
"I'll have you again, little girl. Next time, I won't be giving you back. I'll kill you, and then you'll be mine forever."
Before handing her back to Maxwell, he held his new daughter to him tightly. A daughter who no longer belonged to Maxwell, but to the devil himself. Chloe's mind flickered back to life when she heard a loud crash. The pain she felt was unbearable to her soul. Opening her eyes, she realized she was in her father's arms as he took her down a hill to the wreckage of his car. Placing her in the wrecked car, he then pulled out his cell phone, dialing three numbers. Her eyes opened and closed, seeing the mangled car around her as she heard her father's distressed voice.
"My name is Maxwell Masters, and there's been a terrible accident."
Chapter 40. Death Would Follow. When the screen went black, it took everything in Lucas' power to keep down the bile rising in his throat. He wasn't a man with a weak stomach. He had inflicted some of the sickest shit you could ever see. However, it was something altogether different when he had to watch a helpless, innocent young Chloe beg and plead while she was marked for the rest of her life. The already shattered remains of his heart managed to shatter into even tinier pieces as he felt a pain unlike any before. It wanted to break even a man as strong as him, but he wouldn't let it. Chloe had lived it, and he had witnessed it. Now she could give some of her burden to him, and they could share it together. Pulling out the disc, he crumbled it in his hands. No one would be able to see its contents again. The phone ringing on his desk had him staring at the unknown number. Sal came in with his laptop then, having been notified of the call and telling Luca exactly who was on the other end. Luca picked it up and waited for Sal to give him the thumbs up. Sal nodded. Calmly, Luca hit the answer button and put it to his ear.
"Hello, Luca. I have something of yours," Lucifer mocked.
A low growl escaped Luca's throat.
"If you hurt her, I'll fucking kill you and anyone else carrying the Luciano name." "Hurt her? I need her. It was only a matter of time before you came for me anyway. We both know that."
He did know.
"Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt her."
Lucifer paused, his voice becoming proud.
"Like I did your mother."
The darkness in Luca rose, grinning for what was to come.
"That was all I was waiting for."
At Luca's words, the line on the other end went eerily silent before it clicked, ending the call. Lucifer had just sealed his own fate. The only reason Luca had kept him alive this long was to prove the man had had a hand in his mother's death. Getting up, he didn't have any time to waste.
"Go fetch my dog."
"Where are you going?"
Sal asked as he stood. His voice was grave and dark when he answered,
"Suiting up."
Now he had grounds for war. He opened the door on the top floor of the casino hotel, not waiting to be invited in. Dante was in the process of bringing a full glass of dark liquid to his lips, but stopped the moment he saw his son enter his office. His cold ice blue eyes became colder as he took in his son's appearance, immediately knowing nothing good was about to come out of his son's mouth. Luca pushed back his freshly cut hair that highlighted his trimmed and shortened beard. Then he adjusted his all-black suit while he stood menacingly in front of his father. You could practically smell the rage and thirst for blood coming off of him in waves. It was a rare and frightening sight for anyone to see. The image even gave grown men nightmares. It was never a good thing to see Luca dressed in a suit and tie. When the boogeyman did put on his black suit, it always meant one thing. Death would follow.
"Explain," Dante demanded.
"You wanted proof before you wanted war."
The door opened again, and Sal brought in a bound and blind man.
"Here it is."
Taking in the deformed and tortured man was another sight many weren't ever privy to. Luca's masterpieces were works of art, and he was a true artist. Leaning back in his chair, Dante smiled.
"This is the man who broke into Nero's, trying to get to Maria."
"Yes, but he wasn't there for Maria."
An eyebrow raised.
"Then who?"
Luca looked down at his malnourished dog that was silent.
"Chloe Masters."
"Nero's girlfriend's scared little friend?"
Luca adjusted his suit again, those words pissing him off.
"You will not speak about her in that way."
Dante saw it then.
"You're not fucking serious,"
he scoffed.
"I am very fucking serious."
The words were spoken in a low growl.
"She's still practically a child, Luca."
His father's face became furious, knowing the severity of how his son felt about her by the look in his eye alone. Dante was bewildered, which made him angry. Luca didn't express feelings toward his own family, let alone a girl.
"You expect her to stand by you and handle the life you lead.
She's damaged and weak. I told you not to speak about her in that way. Next time, I will make sure those words are your last, he warned him one final time. She is neither damaged nor weak, and she will learn to stand beside me.
The boss shook his head, making it apparent he would never give his blessing.
You are forgetting something.
What? That she's not Italian? Luca smiled. A rule that will end when I take your place.
What did you just fucking say?
Dante's icy eyes steeled into him.
You heard me. We're getting tired of choosing women based on blood.
You think I'm fucking stupid?
Dante huffed.
I know this, but the higher-ranking members in this family must always be full-blooded Italian men, you most of all.
We do not have time for this right now, Luca growled.
He had wasted enough time getting to Chloe already. Filling his father in quickly, he told him about Lucifer being the one to scar Chloe, him protecting her and keeping her at the house, Drago going down for her, and how Lucifer was now holding her captive. Dante listened to the story, realizing how far down the rabbit hole his son had gone, and all for a girl.
My men are not going to go to war for you right this second over some girl, not when we don't even know if Drago is still alive or not.
He had raised his voice, hitting the table, before he got his anger back under control.
Even if I told them to, we've been at peace for years. They will not risk that and their lives. They would retaliate against us.
Luca kicked the blind man at his feet.
Tell him why he marked her.
He wanted Maxwell in his pocket, to give him information on you or anything that could take you down.
The fury Dante held was now turning from Luca to Lucifer. Luca continued the explanation himself.
The only reason he hasn't gotten to you yet is because Sal has outsmarted him and Drago has blocked him for all these years. We just never knew it was Lucifer then. When we suspected him, we needed the evidence.
Fuck.
Dante took a swig of his drink, trying to simmer himself down.
We have to think carefully and plan even more carefully. I am not taking my men to war right this second, not for her. That's the price you will pay for putting her above Drago and the rest of the family.
I thought he would say that.
This was exactly why Luca had needed the final piece, why he'd had to wait and plan carefully, just like his father had said. Otherwise, he would have made Lucifer's death more imminent. His haunting voice gave the command.
Sal.
Sal pressed a button on his phone.
Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt her, like I did your mother.
Dante leaned forward as he stood up, his ice-cold eyes promising retribution.
The Caruso family goes to war. Now!
Chapter 41. The Darkness in Its True Form. Chloe was back where it all began 4 years ago. In the cold warehouse that sat in the middle of nowhere. The same men who had taken her before brought her here, except for one of Lucifer's three men, the one who had worn the horseshoe ring. She'd had nightmares of this moment ever since he had first let her go.
I always knew this day would come.
Her wrists and ankles were tied with tight ropes. Her hands constantly moved, wringing, which only caused the ropes to burn her skin. The devil placed her freezing body on a chair that sat in the middle of the desolate building. As he stared down at her, she could see the victory in his sick, black eyes.
They're here,
one of his men told the devil as she heard several cars pull up in a distance.
Luca?
the little girl in her helplessly whispered for the only man capable of saving her.
You really think he's going to save you?
Lucifer pulled a long piece of fabric out of his pocket before tying it around her head to cover her mouth as she struggled against him.
That didn't work for you the last time, did it?
It was a dangerous thing to have hope, for her to hope to be saved this time when no one had come for her the last. This time, however, she now knew a man like Luca existed, and the feeling they shared kept telling her one word over and over. Believe. Lucifer ran his fingers roughly down her face.
I have dreamed of getting you back ever since I let you go. I've waited a very long time for you. Too long. I made myself sick over wanting you.
Chloe breathed so heavily she thought the fabric that was tied around her mouth was going to suffocate her. Every time he touched her, it left a trail of scorching fire that continued to burn her skin, unable to burn out. Feeling every touch he left on her, the pain of it started to consume her. She wanted to wash it away, yet she feared that soap and water wouldn't ever fix it. He brought his hands to her hair, grabbing it so hard he was practically ripping strands out.
At first, I wanted to kill you, but when Luca took you away from me, I realized I wanted something very different.
She didn't think it was possible to see anything other than the nothingness in his huge black eyes, yet she saw something different now. Obsession. Chloe's eyes teared when he brought his face closer to hers. When she closed her eyes, the pooling tears fell as she felt his disgusting, cold tongue lick the scar that rested along her cheek.
How does it feel to have three men want you? Me? Luca? Amo?
When he uttered the last name, he could see the shock on her face.
Yes. You'll have to remind me to thank Amo for leading me back to you. I might even let him live, if Luca hasn't killed him already.
Another tear fell down her cheek. She tried to pull her hands apart, wanting the rope around her wrist to release her.
Soon I will have you, my little girl. I just have to take care of business first.
He whispered the promise to her before he released her. That was when the door to the warehouse opened.
Luca?
Men started filing in. Men she had never seen before. She quickly realized it wasn't Luca or any of the Caruso family. These men weren't dressed in fine Italian suits and shoes. Most of them were only wearing parts of a suit, like a jacket or slacks, but they weren't made of fine materials. These men looked rough, almost like Luca, but with a different quality to them. Three men approached the devil, two of them being twins. All three had tattoos and were wearing several rings on each of their hands. All of them had something to them that reminded her of him.
What's going on, Lucifer?
The one who seemed to be older than the twins asked.
Lucifer.
That name gave her chills.
I've told you, the family is being threatened. That is all you or anyone else needs to know.
His voice had risen as he addressed all of his men, not just the one who stood before him, making them all scatter across the building to prepare.
Every fucking one of you will protect me and this family, no matter what.
The three seemed skeptical of Lucifer before they finally noticed her. They stared intently at her for a moment, their eyes gazing down at her scarred face. Chloe held her breath, unmoving, as the identical twins stalked toward her. The two then parted off at different times, walking around her slowly in a perfect circle, looking down at her like a hawk does before it strikes its prey.
Who is this?
One of the twins asked as he passed in front of her to walk around her back. Lucifer grinned evilly.
my prize.
The other twin passed her front while they continued to circle her.
We'll watch over her for you then, won't we, Matthias?
Yes, Matthias agreed, smiling as his eyes swept over her body. The two were mirror images of each other, even down to their tattoos. She had no clue how to tell them apart. Chloe swallowed hard and deeply, her eyes traveling to the third guy who had first spoken to the devil. He hadn't taken his piercing gaze off her, sending her already shivering body into more violent ones. He stalked close to her now, until he stood right in front of her, staring down, his eyes roving over her scarred face. This close to him, it was obvious to her exactly who he was. His beard had hidden his identity from far away, but up close, you couldn't miss the fact that he was Lucifer's son. When he walked behind her, she prepared herself for what he was going to do to her. Then she felt something warm over her shoulders, and then her arms. Looking down, she saw that he had placed his jacket over her. It was warm from being worn, and it heated her bone-chilled body, giving her some relief. All she could see was his back when he walked away from her, now jacketless, until he resumed his spot of watching her from afar. She looked down at her wringing hands and her wrists that were becoming sore. The many men that filled the room with their guns made her feel a strong shift within herself, a feeling that intensified the strange thing between her and Luca. It made her lose all hope of wanting Luca to even save her. If Luca were to come, it could cost him his life, something she wouldn't be able to live with. Not only because she would hate herself for it, but because she now knew what it was like to be safe with him. Chloe shed one last tear.
Don't save me. I'm not worth it.
Seconds seemed to pass into minutes. Minutes seemed to pass into hours. She continued to sit there, her body becoming sore and frozen, her wrists becoming raw. The men in the warehouse only grew more antsy, while Lucifer only grew more crazed. Meanwhile, the three men continued watching her, the twins continuing to circle around her like a slow and broken clock as time crept on. Chloe could feel the energy of the men change in the room, one by one, as the sound of cars started roaring closer, headlights illuminating the bleak, abandoned warehouse. Looking down at her wrists, she could see trickles of blood flowing. The twins stood on each side of her now, closer than they had stood, as Lucifer came to stand behind her. The men all filed around the building, pointing their guns toward the massive door, with Lucifer's son standing in front of the line.
You will await my orders. I have waited many years for this moment, Lucifer proudly ordered. Today is the day we take back our city.
The door flew open, revealing many clean-cut men in Italian suits. Tears brimmed her eyes. She could already feel the loss of him.
Luca, don't.
Gasps filled the air, and Lucifer's men started backing up. Some of them were practically shitting themselves in confusion.
The Carusos, you didn't tell us it would be them, was heard whisper hissed around the room.
The intimidating suits split up, taking different sides of the room. Her eyes grew wide when she saw Nero, Vincent, and Amo standing in the middle. They looked different to her, stronger, older, scarier. They didn't even look like themselves. When her eyes landed on Amo's, she could see the pain in them and the regret he felt for putting her here. When the three of them split, they revealed Sal, who was holding a chain in his hand that led to a man who no longer looked human. He was just skin and bones, covered in dirt, burns, and both new and old wounds.
She and the Lucianos stared at him with the feeling they knew him, but his matted hair and disfigured eyes made it hard for them to tell who it was, until it hit them all at once.
Holy fuck.
The men all took a step back. She thought she was going to throw up from looking at him, seeing the finger that had once held his gold horseshoe ring was now gone. She knew exactly who had made him this way. When Sal pushed the tortured man down to his knees, Chloe's breath froze with her body, not thinking it was possible to feel any number than she had felt before his blue-green eyes met hers.
Luca?
Her eyes roved over him, never before seeing him like this. Luca's hair and beard had been trimmed, and every part of the suit he wore was as black as night. His rough appearance now gone. In its place was something more menacing, frightening, and deadly. This was the darkness in its true form, the boogeyman.
I'm going to save you, darling, his voice whispered through her mind as their eyes locked. Everything will be okay.
The feeling they shared grew stronger, wrapping around her and protecting her. She had waited 4 long years for this moment, for the moment she would finally feel saved. Chapter 42. A power that went beyond this world or any other. Only one gun was held on the Caruso side, and it was in the hand of Luca as he pointed it down upon the tortured man's skull. Chloe held her eyes to Luca's, too scared to look away from him, feeling safer with her gaze on his.
Where's Dante? Lucifer spat from behind her.
3 men came from behind other suits, the same vision as Nero, Vincent, and Amo, except older. Dante stood between Vinny and Enzo, the 3 men protected by their sons and the other suits.
I'm willing to give you 1 chance, Luciano.
Dante spoke with authority and confidence.
Trade me your man for the girl. No blood has to be shed.
His eyes went over all their sons and then their families.
We both have a lot to lose here.
When did you become such a bitch, Dante?
Lucifer snickered.
I put the hit out on your wife, had her killed, and you are willing to let me walk away. You are a disgrace to this city.
I'm so sorry.
Staring into Luca's eyes, her heart broke for him. The man who had stolen her soul was responsible for stealing his mother's. The feeling and bond between them made more sense. Dante flexed his jaw, taking a step forward, his voice becoming more powerful as he said,
The girl for your man, Luciano.
Lucifer put his hands on Chloe's shoulders, squeezing her harshly.
What do you want with her? She is nothing to you, nor does she belong to any Caruso.
He moved one of his hands, running a finger down the scar across her eye.
She has my mark. She belongs to me and me alone.
The devil's touch scorched her, but her eyes still didn't waver, finding strength in the blue-green eyes that didn't move from hers.
You took her from my home, my protection, and from my son.